ET Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you, a rather crisp Saturday morning out there. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood here for Saturday Morning Sports Talk on a very cloudy and cool weekend, Tim. And I think I'm going to ask Coach Higgins today when I head out to training camp here in, 2 hours or 2.5 hours or so. This has to be the coolest start or first week of training camp. It almost has to be in his tenure here at Emporia.
Well, I don't think the players certainly could have asked for more of a gift
No.
than what they've received this week as far as weather is concerned. Man, it's been gorgeous last couple of days in the 70s and nice and cool. And, you know, here we sit in August in Kansas.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I hope they enjoy it while it lasts.
Yes.
Because as we talked before we came on the air, it will end.
Yes.
But just soak it up now.
Yeah. Something like maybe Wednesday next week. We'll get back in the 80s before then, but it sounds like Wednesday the 90s will be back. I would think, because one of the big things that they harp on the guys after practice, you know, they get out these big old, you know, troughs and they get the ice in there. Like, hey, you need to go sit in the ice bath for, you know, 30 seconds, whatever, 90, whatever their time is. You need to go sit in the ice bath. I would feel like that would be much more difficult to do after a day like today.
Yes.
Than when, you know, like last Monday when it was 100 and whatever. I mean, I think it only got to 90. It only got to 97 during practice. But, you know, when you're on the surface there, it gets much warmer. But I feel like that would be a lot easier to get into after practice than after a day like today where it's, you know, the wind's going to be biting at you a little bit almost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you almost get a little cool.
Yeah.
Talking to someone yesterday, they had, I think, a pool party they were going to last night. And they're like,
not a great time for
that. I'm not sure if this is going to be the best evening, but golly.
You need to have a heated pool.
Yeah, you better. But no, man, just soak it up and enjoy it. Like I told you, I got a chance to do some yard work last night and didn't sweat to death doing it. So, I mean, this is my kind of weather. Right?
Well,
I am not a summer guy.
Sure.
So.
Hey, I like this kind of weather, too. Though Dylan Sherwood was out at the Lyon County Fair doing the video work yesterday and had two shows. He had the beef show, then the bucket calf show, and Dylan, out there in that barn, have you ever had to put on a fleece before in the morning?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to pull out a quarter zip yesterday.
Yeah, you had to wear jeans out there.
Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice yesterday.
Yeah, I bet that'll probably be the last. I bet you'll be back into a shorts and t-shirt next year. That's just my prediction.
Yep. Exactly.
Because
it gets very steamy in that barn.
I can imagine. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's got the metal roof on it. And, I mean, sure, it's open. So, I mean, you'll get some wind, but you're not going to get that much in there. And, you know, there's just so, it's just not a whole lot of ways for whatever's underneath that to stay cool if it's really, really, really hot outside.
Even when they have the fans on in there, it's still steamy.
Sure. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, our video coverage is, I think we've already got it underway. And
yep,
it's going now.
I've gotten the thumbs up.
So have I. And so we've got that coming up. We've got, sheep today at 8:30?
Yeah.
Sheep and then goats, I think.
Sheep and goats.
And then sheep and
goats.
Then the swine
pigs
tomorrow.
Tomorrow at swine.
Sure.
Yeah.
So 8:30, that's on KVOE TV, KVOE.com/TV for that coverage. Well, on today's show, we are taking an our first annual Interview Amnesty Day, as we're going to do a sports talk show today. We're not going to have not going to have any interviews. We don't have anybody brought on, and we'll get back to the normal interview show that this is, you know, next week. But
this is crazy.
I thought that, you know, hey, it might be fun just to, I used to do daily sports talk in Wichita. I don't know if you guys – I know this show has kind of evolved and morphed over the years, and maybe at one time it was more that than it is now. But, you know, I asked Greg when I came up, said, hey, what is this show supposed to be? It's like, well, it's not really a local show or a sports talk show. It's more of an interview show.
Yep.
Where we have people on and we interview them about what's going on.
Right.
So that's – you know, that informed me and said, okay, we'll try to do the best interview show that we can and get guests on. And, you know, hopefully you've enjoyed the guests we've gotten on, and hopefully we've gotten some new guests and that you haven't had on before. And hopefully we have kept the guests that you like coming back again that you've been listening to. But I thought for today, you know, right here, this would be a good time of year to do this and just talk a little bit about sports and just do a sports talk show today. So that is what we are going to do. We'll start with the Royals here today, and not a great time for the Royals to struggle a little bit. Now, the Cardinals are necessarily a team that you will look at and say, well, that's a team that the Royals have to beat, but Royals definitely had some chances to really cement their spot in the playoffs, you know, with their games last week, but did not do a good job in the Red Sox series and a loss against the Cardinals. So what could have been a fairly sizable cushion for the Royals in the wild card is anything but right now for KC. And as you were mentioning, Tim, you know, the bullpen had its issues. Not that the offense was perfect. And, you know, Bobby Wood Jr. went 0-for-4, which is very unlike him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will silence the Yankee fans that think that there's something going on. Because, oh, have you seen the home road splits of Bobby Wood Jr.? Like, really? You can't have one outlier in all of Major League Baseball. There has to be a trash can situation. And if that is the case, I guess I'll explain what I'm saying. There are a lot of people that are putting Judge and Bobby Wood Jr. up for the AL MVP, and they are very statistically similar. There are a couple of elements that you look at offensively that Bobby Witt is slightly better. There are a couple that Aaron Judge is slightly better. But Yankee fans have started to point out, well, look, have you looked at the road home splits? And Aaron Judge is statistically slightly better on the road than he is at home, which is a little bit unusual, typically, you will see guys, they'll be within 5, 10% of what they do. There's not going to be a real big difference. Bobby Witt, there is a pretty big difference. He's hitting over 400 at home this year, and he's still a pretty good player. He's still way above, you know, what the stat nerds would call a replacement-level player on the road, or on the road. He's hitting like 280 or something on the road. So he's still a very, very good player, but he's not having, you know, the all-star Hall of Fame type of season that he is having at home. So they're saying, well, that seems pretty suspicious. Somebody ought to look into that. And, like, let me ask you something. If that was the case and the Royals had the ability to increase somebody's batting average by 130, don't you think they'd be doing that with the whole team, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you think everybody would have these splits and not just, oh, well, we're just going to do it. Hey, Bobby, hey, we got this system set up. You're going to be great at home. Now, you're going to still be fine on the road, but we're going to let you hit 130 points better at home. Don't tell any of your teammates.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell any of your teammates how you're doing it. Just accept it and understand, because we're going to keep it a secret from everybody else. How dumb do you think that is?
Well, and keep in mind, this is New York, right?
I mean, sure.
So you have to take that with a grain of salt.
And, you know, it's what they post on Twitter.
Oh, sure. And it's look, no one can watch Bobby Witt Jr. play baseball and not realize he's probably one of the best, what, 3, 4, 5 players in all of baseball.
This year, yeah.
The guy's phenomenal. He's having a great year. Like you said, just because his splits are a wider gap at home versus on the road, as you said, wouldn't that be the case with everybody else? Bottom line is, he's a fantastic player.
It's just wild to me that that's the thing.
Yeah, that they hone in on.
Dylan, like that's the one thing. That's the thing that you're going to harp on is, oh, the road and and home split? Really? I don't understand that.
After game 162, then it goes for real. So,
well,
you know, let all the talk just happen now, and let Bobby Witt Jr. prove it when he gets in the postseason. Because
sure,
there are even people. There are people on Twitter right now. Now, even last night, I was looking at this. There are people that are saying the MLB doesn't want the Royals in the postseason.
Why?
Because, I don't know.
They don't
want to be like 14 and 15. Let the Royals do a run. The Royals do a run. You know we all want to see that. It's been 10 years since the Royals have been in the postseason.
I mean, I guess I can understand to a certain perspective of, you know, when I used to watch, I don't know if any of you out there listening used to watch or can still watch, pardon the interruption.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to love to watch that show. But of all of the shows that did embrace debate and all that, that became such a major, you know, influence on sports television there in the 2000s, to me, PTI did it by far the best of any of those shows. And there was a time where I organized my calendar to see Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon. I watched it every day. You know, so you have, to me, you have whatever show Skip Bayless is on one side, and the PTI is on the other side. Those are opposite ends of the spectrum. But they would always say, you know, this is not what Major League Baseball wants, because Kansas City is not the major market they want for the big ratings in the World Series. Because
exactly.
Baseball has become so regionalized. They want a New York team. They want an L.A. team. You know, Yankees, Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Those are the Red Sox versus, you know, some other huge team. That's what they want. Red Sox, Phillies.
Right.
They don't want the Royals. They don't want the Rays. They don't want the, you know, these middle market. The Cardinals, I think, they have kind of a nationwide fan base. So they can try to pull that in. But they don't have the real big nationwide fan base that some of these other teams do. So if that's the perspective that they're coming from, Dylan, I can understand that, because Kansas City doesn't have a national fan base. They never have. And that's okay. Not every team is going to. But to say that they're trying to actively work against the Royals and keep them out, that's – that's ridiculous. They probably would rather have. I mean, if you ask them right now, you ask Rob Manfred, yeah, I'm sure that he would rather say, yeah, I would like the Yankees to be in the World Series, because he's not an idiot. I understand. That doesn't mean that they're trying to actively keep the Royals out of the playoffs. Come on.
Well, the Royals have done that themselves many years already. They're their own worst enemy. Most they don't need any help from Major League Baseball.
They have done a very, some would say,
a great
Tim,
job of keeping themselves out of the playoffs.
If that's the goal, they've done an admirable job of doing that and accomplishing that
yes.
over the last couple of days. So it was
absolutely.
An 8-5 win for the Red Sox. So they beat the Royals. For the Cardinals, and they beat the Royals. Game 2 of the I-70 series is tonight. You can hear it right here on KVOE. And then a very rare off day Sunday for
yep.
Kansas City. So that's what's coming up for the Royals.
Good news is, I mean, if you're looking for a silver lining, as we follow many teams that are close to us, Red Sox did lose last night. That
yes,
helped a little bit. Now, on the other side, the Twins had a great doubleheader against the Guardians.
They did.
So the Twins are now a couple games ahead of the Royals in the wild card. And if anyone hasn't looked at the Central standings in a little while,
Cleveland has
they are starting
now.
To tighten up. Minnesota, I think, is a game and a half back.
Yes.
The Royals are only 3.5 games out of the division lead.
Yes.
So the hopes of winning division are still even in play, let alone a wild card
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, that's
so,
for sure. The Twins have made a move here.
Yes, they have.
And they are now 2 games in front of the wild card. They're still 2.5 back of the the Yankees are now the top wild card team. They didn't play last night, and so the Orioles got a win, so they move in front by a half game in the American League East. But that's essentially a tie there, because the Yankees will get that game made up. But yeah, the Cleveland has come back to the pack a little bit. They've lost 7 of their last 10. Cleveland's lost 7 in a row now.
Yeah, they're on a real tailspin.
And
now.
Minnesota has won 7 of their last 10. So Minnesota is playing fantastic right now. The Royals are sitting there at 6-4 in their last 10. So, you know, you get a split here with the Cardinals, and then just got to get back to work next week.
Absolutely.
And Minnesota coming up for the Royals.
Not too far away.
I think at the beginning of next week,
actually. Is that the next series for the Royals?
I believe so. Wow. In Minnesota. That would going to Target Field.
In Minnesota.
Hey, if the Royals want to go ahead and have the bats swinging, you know, get salvage the split tonight. Get ready to go to Target Field, and hopefully Salvador Perez has himself a clinic against the Twins.
Yeah, they got
because he loves Target Field.
You got the Twins, and then you've got a 3-game set with the Reds, Angels, Phillies. Those are the next 2 weeks, and then you've got another 3-game set with Cleveland.
Yep.
on the last week of the series.
Isn't that four? Because there's a makeup game from June.
There is the
26th.
Yes, there's a day-night doubleheader on the first day on the 26th. That'll be a day-night doubleheader. So you've got several. That would be 7 games against the 2 teams that you're changing and you're chasing in your division by less than 4 games. So the Royals can get that taken care of. That would go a long way in helping them to the playoffs, or maybe even a central title. And can you imagine the story that would be? Going from out, where the Royals were last year to a central title. Let's take a break. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about Big 12 football. We're going to run down some in the Olympics and why the guys cannot get this little plastic stick passed around the track. We'll discuss that. But when we come back, a lot of people talk about the GOAT and the greatest of all time. Oh, he's the GOAT. Well, my question is, who's the greatest of the goats? Nobody ever ranks that.
Who's the king goat?
Who runs the goat farm? Who's running the goat show out at the Lyon County Fair? We're going to discuss that here next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, get back-to-school savings on our best inventory of new Chevys in years during Chevy Summer Drive Sales Event. Come in and see our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Get $8,100 off MSRP on select 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 models, or save thousands in interest with low 1.9% APR up to 36 months. Or why not drive home in a new 2024 Chevy Equinox and get $1,500 off MSRP, or get financing as low as 1.9% APR up to 36 months. And come see the latest in EV models from Chevy. For back-to-school savings, come see our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can always visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. A salute to University of Virginia swimmer Gretchen Walsh, who added to her stacked resume at the Paris Olympics. The American star took home 2 gold and 2 silver medals at the Summer Games, winning first place in both the women's and mixed 4x100-meter medley relays. Walsh and her Olympic teammates set world records in both those events. Her Virginia teammate, Emma Weber, also earned a gold medal as a member of the women's squad. Gretchen Walsh is an 18-time individual NCAA champion at Virginia, and in March, she led the Cavaliers program to their 4th straight national title. Now she'll return to Charlottesville for her senior season alongside her older sister and fellow dominant swimmer Alex, who was also on the U.S. Olympic team. Hardware for Haley, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue. Of course. It's incredibly strong and 100% waterproof and bonds, well, virtually everything. While you're at it, look for Gorilla Tape, a heavy-duty double-thick duct tape, and Gorilla Super Glue, great for all your quick fixes and repairs. There's also Gorilla Epoxy, Gorilla Wood Glue, Gorilla Construction Adhesive, of course. You get it. If you can break it, Gorilla can fix it. For the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
College basketball star Haley Van Lith, who helped the American women's 3x3 team win bronze in Paris. After a rough start to Olympic play, Van Lith and her squad battled back, defeating Canada to secure a medal.
I'm really proud of us. People don't understand how hard 3-on-3 is and just the uniqueness of the sport. And for us to start 0-3 and go 6-7 in the next 7 games against the 7 best teams in the world is actually incredible.
Van Lith spent last year at LSU. This year, she'll play her final collegiate season at TCU. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to SMST. Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood, Tim Miller here with you today in the studio. Interview Amnesty Day here on Saturday morning sports talk. No interviews this week. We're doing a good old-fashioned sports talk show. And coming up next segment, we'll be talking Big 12 football, KU and Kansas State, both very high in many of the conference rankings. What are their chances? We'll look across the college football landscape as well and also talk Olympics. But right now, I thought this would be kind of a fun topic, and I tried to pick one. Obviously, this is a topic that, you know, in the sports talk world, you say, well, this is your summer topic, because on a normal year, you don't have the Olympics. This right. is, you're in the dog days of baseball at this point. Now, in August, you're starting to get excited about college football. You're talking about the NFL, you know, and that's right on theme for us because the Chiefs are playing their first preseason game. We'll talk about what we want to see out of the Chiefs in that preseason game against Jacksonville coming up next segment. But these kind of segments, typically in the business, they say, oh, you know, have an opinion and do that. Well, when you're doing one real sports talk show a year, this is the perfect time to do a segment like this.
Yep.
So everybody, this term GOAT has kind of evolved over the years, because it used to be if you were the scapegoat, you didn't want to be a goat.
That's right.
Because the goat is the one that you blame it on. And I've still heard people say, yeah, a guy, he was the goat. And they weren't talking about greatest of all time, for sure. But that is, this has been a big discussion here recently. And I think partially it's been Tom Brady that's kind of spurred this, because he was the first guy that really in the modern times mm-hmm. has been, you know, the last 15 years, has really cemented themselves as the GOAT. Now, that's changed a little bit because you've had a couple of tennis guys that have come through. Simone Biles this year mm-hmm. certainly has done that. Michael Phelps in the pool has done that. But several people have kind of ascended to GOAT status. So my question is, well, how do we figure out who's the greatest GOAT? And how do you decide who the greatest of all the greatest of all time is? Because obviously it's hard to measure people in different sports, and how do you measure what Wayne Gretzky did against what Michael Jordan did? So I think the first thing that you have to do is you have to ID your candidates. So in each discipline, who is the best of all time? So for me, if you go down the list, in basketball, there's only three names that I picked out, and that was Michael Jordan. In women's basketball, pretty much everybody says Diana Taurasi, which I would believe. And then certainly you will have some people that will say LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily here to get into a Michael versus LeBron mm-hmm. argument. That could be the segment. Right. Are you Michael, Team Michael or LeBron guy?
I am in the camp of the Michael Jordan.
Sure. Group. Dylan, are you a Team Michael or LeBron guy?
I mean, Jordan was the guy to look up to in the 90s.
I'm talking about right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right now. I mean, you know, I like LeBron, but I mean, Jordan's done a lot more than what LeBron has done.
Sure.
So, but I know LeBron has been, you know, on the Olympics teams and going for gold medals, but you cannot compare LeBron to Michael Jordan, because, you know, he hasn't. Michael Jordan has more championships, more dynasty teams, and
LeBron would have zero dynasty teams, by the way.
If the Last Dance was the best thing to come out during the COVID-19 pandemic, because that was enjoyable to watch and just see everything about the dynasty that Michael Jordan had, and plus, you know, we got to throw this in there because also Space Jam, A New Legacy came out during COVID as well. Nothing can beat the OG Space Jam as well.
So you're giving it to Michael Jordan because his animated movie was better?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, you cannot beat the original Space Jam as well. So
okay. So Space Jam, the biggest thing Space in Dylan's Jam. Mind between MJ and LeBron. For baseball, I'm Team Michael Jordan, by the way.
Okay.
Baseball, the two guys I came up with were Babe Ruth and Willie Mays. There are some modern guys that certainly are going to be in the discussion, but I still have a hard time looking past Babe Ruth and Willie Mays, and I think I give the nod to Babe Ruth because the guy was also a way above replacement level pitcher for a number of years.
And still has many baseball records to this day. I had Ruth, I had Mays, and I also threw in Hank Aaron.
Henry Aaron is up there as well. Yeah.
So those are the three guys I had.
Dylan, yeah, I was going to say Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron.
Sure.
So
football. Yeah.
But also, we got to think about what George Brett has done, but still.
Greatest of all time, I don't know about that. I don't think anybody would have. Now, if you want to talk about, like, greatest of all time Royal, then,
George
Brett is for sure. But in terms of the entire sport, he's a no doubt, 0% doubt Hall of Famer for sure. But greatest of all time, I don't think that he's in the discussion or even close. In football, I did this a little bit differently because most people think of Tom Brady as the greatest of all time at quarterback. Can you really be the greatest football player of all time if you don't tackle people? if your job is the game of football is played, it's a contact sport. If you don't tackle people, how can you be the greatest of the sport of that sport? So to me, I think it's a little bit different between the guy who throws the ball and then everybody else. You know, and I understand that it's not the job of the wide receivers to tackle, but they're getting tackled.
Right.
And it's not the job of the running back to get tackled, but they're getting tackled. And certainly Tom Brady, he straddled the era where the guys could just absolutely come in and kill him versus, you know, where they, you know, what did Troy Aikman say? Something about a dress and all that got him in trouble.
Right.
But to me, it's a little bit different. So I go Tom Brady and Lawrence Taylor.
Okay.
Are my two greats of all time. Because I think there's enough of a difference between the quarterback position and then everything else in football. I don't mind having two different guys there.
I stayed offense. I'll be the first to admit I did not have a defensive player. But if I
just
were
like the typical NFL,
that's right.
Media.
But I will say if I were to put a defensive player on the list, certainly Lawrence Taylor would be there towards the top.
Sure.
I would also have to include someone like a Reggie White, who was very dominant in his era. But I did stay offense. I put Brady in. I mean, guys won 7 Super Bowls, so I guess you kind of have to have him at least in the conversation, certainly. But I threw a couple other guys in, and some of it's a little bit more biased because this is who I watched growing up as a kid more than anything else. I wouldn't say kid, but certainly younger than I am now.
Sure.
Jerry Rice is one of the greatest offensive players I ever watched the game.
Yeah. If you just separate out wide receivers, no question.
To me, the best football player I ever watched.
I'm going to guess you're going to say Barry Sanders.
I am. I mean, the guy was incredible. And to walk away from the game where he was at his – I mean, of course, he's a local guy, too. I watched him play in high school. The most incredible running back that I've ever watched. I mean, you talk about – and if you haven't done it, pull up a highlight reel of Barry Sanders and tell me that guy's not in the conversation for one of the greatest football players you've ever watched play the game.
There are certain athletes that you look at and say, you know – we're going to get to tennis in a second, and you look at the guys like Bjorn Borg and Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe, and they were great, all-time greats for their era. I think that Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, and the equipment is a little different, I think these guys slaughter them. Barry Sanders could show up in the league today. tomorrow, if he was fresh out of the Wichita North Redskin football program, if he showed up tomorrow, he would still catch people's attention.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, if you haven't done it, do yourself a real favor, you younger guys out there.
Sure.
And pull up a highlight reel of this guy.
Dylan's seen – oh, my he's seen
God.
Barry Sanders.
I mean, it's just incredible. Yeah. His ability to stop on a dime and cut.
Change
direction. Best running back I've ever
watched. And some get up and go as well. Dylan, anybody we missed for football?
Not that I can think of.
I think this is pretty quick hockey, Gretzky, the end?
The end.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know,
could you put Crosby maybe in at least the conversation a little bit?
I don't think you can. I think that he's the top of the second tier.
Okay.
What about
Gretzky by far.
What about Alex Ovechkin?
I think he's in the top of the second tier.
Okay.
But I think he's moved up there, especially after he won the Stanley Cup. But I just don't think anybody's ever going to get to Gretzky. I then went through a bunch of other sports, a couple that I think are pretty, you know, open and shut. Swimming, Michael Phelps.
No kidding. No doubt.
Gymnastics, Simone Biles.
No doubt.
No.
Women's tennis, Serena Williams is who I put.
I would concur.
There are, you know, I've always said Steffi Graf had a little bit. I think Steffi Graf a little bit better singles, but and Martina Navratilova had a lot of other majors, but Serena had a great doubles and singles career.
Yep, I would go with Serena.
You know, men's tennis, I put Novak Djokovic.
I think I put Djokovic.
Federer and Nadal are.
I like Federer the best. He's my favorite tennis player.
Sure. Djokovic is mine.
Okay.
Jordan Larson in volleyball, Kat Osterman in softball. So you've got all these. Now, how do you separate all this greatness? Because there's so much to parse through. To me, I want to look through and say, you know, this is the same thing that Jay Billis says when it comes to NCAA tournament tide. Who did you play? And who did you beat? That's who I want to know. So for me, and I also missed men's in golf, Tiger or Jack?
I go Jack.
I think I do go Jack as the greatest, but I would say Tiger is the most dominant of all time.
Tiger probably could have been head and shoulders above the rest if he had not obviously been injured for the latter part of his career.
If he doesn't cheat on supermodel wife,
yeah.
Who knows how things play out for Tiger.
Yeah.
But I think I go Jack, but Tiger was a fantastic, you know, I think the most dominant golfer for sure.
Yep.
So you look at these players, and I want to know who were they playing against. I mean, you know, for the most part of Tom Brady's career, it was Peyton Manning was the quarterback. But you know all the great defensive players that he had to play against, the Ray Lewis's of the world, the Richard Shermans of the world. Really great talent. And then certainly here recently, it's been Brady and Patrick Mahomes. They've met up in the playoffs a couple of times.
Right.
For Michael Jordan, for a long time, it was the Bad Boy Pistons was the team, and then Patrick Ewing and the Knicks and the Eastern Conference, the battles with the Jazz and the NBA Finals, LeBron James, it was Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, all the all-time greats that Babe Ruth and Willie Mays had to deal with. I don't think of other hockey players. It's probably just because I didn't watch a lot of hockey, but feel like Gretzky's so far in front of everybody. That you can't really think. Obviously, for Jack, Arnold Palmer,
sure.
Gary Player, it's Phil Mickelson for Tiger. I don't really think of anybody. I know there's some really good Australian swimmers that Phelps had to beat and some other good gymnasts that Simone Biles had to beat.
23 medals, case closed.
Yeah. To me, I almost think the greatest of all the GOATs, I'm going to argue that it's Novak Djokovic, and here's why. There were two guys in his contemporary era that were considered the greatest of all time while he was playing, that he passed while he was playing. You look at Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. In my mind, those are the three best that have ever been in the sport, and they happened to come along at one time. So to me, my argument is, in terms of who they played and who they beat, and Novak has a winning record against Federer, he has a winning record against Nadal, he has a winning record against Andy Murray, all of the major contemporaries of his time in the sport, he was better than. Now, he didn't start that way, but
right.
You know, he got off gluten in 2010 or whatever, and the rest is history, as they say, for Novak Djokovic. So my argument would be the greatest of all the GOATs is Novak, because he played against two other guys that everybody acclaimed, these are the best ever, and then he went on to surpass and beat them. That is my argument. Do you have a different guy you would pick?
I'll let Dylan go next.
Am I right, or do you have another guy that you're picking?
I mean, Djokovic has done a lot with what he's done, so I'm not gonna argue. I'm going to agree.
Okay. Tim, do you have another pick?
Well, I do.
Good.
And I don't necessarily have a long list of reasons why, other than maybe just a couple. I'll go Michael Jordan.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is because this guy, throughout his entire career almost, was a very marked individual.
Yes, that is true.
And yet, he was 6-for-6 in NBA title runs, never lost an NBA championship game.
Correct.
Or series, okay?
A little bit harder to do in tennis.
A little harder to do in tennis.
But it's fair point.
10 scoring titles, which, by the way, I think is still an all-time record.
I think that is still an all-time record.
Of course, 5 NBA MVP awards, first team All-NBA 10 times. Of course, All-Star, blah, 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 blah.
And there were all, I mean, obviously.
Defensive.
He played against Bird. He played against Magic.
Barkley.
Temporary argument. I mean, yeah, Jordan played against the best, Hakeem Olajuwon. Isaiah Thomas.
He was the best among who we would classify as some of the greatest to play during the modern era.
By acclamation.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Here's where, and a couple of things where I think he sets himself apart. Number one, he played both ends of the floor, which is very rare in the NBA. The guy was a tremendous defensive basketball player, too.
I would argue Novak Djokovic, a very good defensive, I would say the best serve receiver, maybe outside of Andre Agassi.
And here's where I will put Jordan ahead of anybody else. And this is just opinion, which is we all have, right?
That's what we're doing today, Tim.
The guy, there was no one that I've ever watched who wanted to win more than Michael Jordan did in terms of his competitive name. I mean, the guy, I think, he may have given up his firstborn to win a championship.
Sure.
I mean, the guy, his competitive nature, which when we argue Jordan versus LeBron, that's where I kind of separate Jordan to some degree, is I think he would do anything to win a game, and he wants the ball in his hands. He's not going to defer to anybody else.
Well, and I think that argument, like, I wouldn't even say LeBron is second in that category.
No.
I would say the biggest argument of, like, who wants to win more, like, let's have an argument between Michael and Kobe.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Kobe going through, because yes. I'll be the first to admit, I have not seen The Last Dance yet. It's a crime. I understand. I apologize.
You need to watch it.
I need to watch it. There's no excuse. I need to watch it. I just need to sit down and figure it out.
And you could say his competitive nature was also a negative because it turned off a lot of his own teammates.
Oh, and for Kobe as well.
Yeah.
For Kobe as well. That's what broke up the dynasty.
It's give me the ball and get the hell out of the way.
But, I mean, yeah, you know. I did watch the documentary about the Redeem Team when they were coming back after the disappointment at the Olympics. And they said he told his team, I'm going to run through Pau Gasol's bleeping chest.
Yeah.
And on the first play of the game, he ran right through Pau Gasol's chest.
And you know, it was a 92 Dream Team. You hear the story. I mean, in practice, Magic Johnson had a great Michael Jordan story in practice where the last guy you want to trash talk is Michael Jordan because you'll pay a dear price for it.
Who would fabricate things to piss himself off.
Exactly. So,
hey, did you say that to Michael Jordan? Yeah. No.
But he said you
Michael
did.
Michael Jordan believed that you did. And belief is a powerful thing.
Yes, it is. So, again, it's probably more biased because I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. I put Michael Jordan as the all-time greatest.
Guys, good segment. I appreciate it. We went over a little bit. Thankfully, we don't have a hard clock. We're getting back to Fox Sports Radio. But let's go ahead and take our last break. Come back. We'll talk Big 12 football for just a little bit. Olympics, as those come to an end, to get you set for the rest of our coverage here today on the KVOE network of stations for sports. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com on KVOE, live and local.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, get back-to-school savings on our best inventory of new Chevys in years during Chevy Summer Drive Sales Event. Come in and see our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Get $8,100 off MSRP on select 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 models, or save thousands in interest with low 1.9% APR up to 36 months. Or why not drive home in a new 2024 Chevy Equinox and get $1,500 off MSRP, or get financing as low as 1.9% APR up to 36 months. And come see the latest in EV models from Chevy. For back-to-school savings, come see our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can always visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Alex Sabario. At 3:30 Eastern today, the U.S. men's basketball team will attempt to win their fifth straight gold medal at the Olympics as LeBron James, Stephen Curry, and company try to stay unbeaten in these Olympics as they face Victor Wembanyama and France in the gold medal game. Joel Embiid, who's been hearing boos from the French crowd all tournament, says that after a difficult semifinal game against Serbia, they need to have all the focus.
It's all about doing whatever it takes to win the gold. That's what I'm focused on. It's all about Team USA against France. I know myself. I'm going to interact myself, and I'm going to enjoy it. They're going to boo me. I'm going to go back at them.
USA versus France at 3:30 Eastern. On Friday, the USA women's basketball team advanced to the gold medal game on Sunday. They'll also face France. They beat Australia 85-64 in the semifinals. Brenna Stewart led the Americans with 18 points in the win, the 60th straight Team USA victory in Olympic play. Stewart on NBA Today on the legacy of trying to win 8 straight gold medals.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it sounds like a lot of pressure is kind of put on us. But it's the standard with USA basketball, and everyone knows it from when you're with the junior national team all the way up to the national team. Like, the goal is gold, and really appreciating all the ones that came before us to kind of pave the way and to give us this opportunity and this platform. Women's basketball is at the best place it's ever been, and we want to continue to kind of uplift that and know that, you know, we're representing our entire country, and we're going to make sure that we go after this next gold medal.
Brianna Stewart on NBA Today. The gold medal game will be Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. In NFL preseason action, Justin Fields made his Steelers debut, a 20-12 loss to the Texans on Friday. Fields sacked twice, fumbled twice, went 5-for-6 with 67 yards in the loss. Also on the preseason slate Friday, Eagles beat the Ravens on a game-ending 49-yard field goal from Jake Elliott to win 16-13. Michael Penix Jr. threw for 104 yards in his NFL debut, and the Falcons lost to the Dolphins 20-13.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Save big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 8/24 price match guarantee valid within 14 days of purchase. Exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/price match.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downey are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/DC 17+. Ends September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. About to wrap things up here. We had a couple other thoughts as we were discussing in the break. You know, just because you were dominant, like if you're Wilt Chamberlain, doesn't necessarily qualify you for the list. Because I would say that Shaq is the most dominating player, but that doesn't make you a GOAT. Right. And then you also mentioned, you know, hey, those Celtics teams that won all those championships in a row, but who are they playing against?
Right.
I can't name a single player that's not on the Celtics from that era. I'm sure there was somebody who could play basketball.
Yeah. Robertson. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Oscar Robertson is really good. Really, really good. And you made a good point, too, about, you know, the 2024 Olympic team is not winning by as much. I mean, they won by 4, but the level of basketball is so much better. Yeah. All of the redeemed team on those wins are much more impressive than what the dream team did.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the spectacle and just the, you know, being the first to do it. So maybe much more impressive than what Dream Team 2 and 3 did, because, you know, we probably in Dream Team 1, we probably could have set elite level high school athletes, and they probably would have won games. They may have finished second in the Olympics.
I think the Dream Team gets, and don't get me wrong, obviously, I mean, God, they dominated the whole thing.
But
the international game has gotten so much better today than it was then. But I think it's just the names that were on that team, and most of these guys are Hall of Fame now, caliber guys. I think, God, over half of them are in the Hall now. Oh, I mean, if not all of them, almost.
It was Angola. That was the first team that they played there. And I think we could have, our high schoolers could have beat Angola. And, yeah, the Barkley famously quipped, "I don't know anything about Angola,
but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah, and they were.
And somebody said after the game, Herlander Coimbra said, those guys were on another level, a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look down the list of those guys, and oh, my God. Other than Christian Laettner, who was obviously, as you made the point, a very decent NBA player.
Yeah, people think he was a bum in the NBA. He averaged over 10 points in the NBA.
Almost every other guy on that team now, I think, is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I think that is.
I think most of them are all in.
Yeah, I would say
and certainly there's going to be plenty of guys who are on this year's team who will be in the Hall. But yeah, and this all stems from a debate I was listening to. A guy was saying that the 2024 team, in many instances, stacks up favorably with the Dream Team, and maybe even is a little bit better just because of the competition that they're playing.
There, I think that you can argue internationally, at least, they are certainly playing much, much, much better competition.
Yes.
Than because there were no Nikola Jokic's around,
not even close.
No, I mean there were some. You know, I think of Arvydas Sabonis. There were some international players, Detlef Schrempf.
Right. But we're talking about guys who are the best in the NBA.
Yeah, we're not seeing, you know, Doncic level players.
Right.
Like, and there are several now with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
Those guys weren't running around back then.
No.
That is for sure. So we'll probably table Big 12 for next week.
Well, we got time.
I do want to talk Olympics though.
Yes, okay.
Yesterday relays. The American women, another gold medal in the 4x100 meter. Wasn't perfect, but Shakari Richardson dashing away at the end. Boy, the men cannot pass this baton around. It's been 20 years or 25 years. Can we figure this out? Are we going to figure this out? Are we just going to let the same thing happen every Olympic Games where we don't know how to pass this little 12-inch stick of plastic? We're just going to do that? Like, you just go watch your women practice? Just go watch them practice. They have separate men's and women's coaches? Just have Gabby Douglas and Shakari Richardson, hey, stupid.
Look,
why don't you watch us do this?
At the state track meet, you are seeing much better passes in relays than what we've seen from the U.S. men over the last five Olympics.
And Carl Lewis came out. I don't know if you saw that, Dylan. Carl Lewis came out and said, how is this happening again? It happened again.
Yeah. And, Tim brought up state track and field. You know, every time I've covered multiple state track and field meets, but whenever I'm in the infield and if they have to make the announcement, attention, attention, we need this coach from this school to see, I think the official's name is
Tracy Smith. That means somebody's about to be disqualified?
Yes. And I think there might have been a time where I might have heard an area team or even a local team, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Sure.
What happened?
Well, you can pretty much watch the Olympic men's 4x1 and say, attention, attention, USA disqualified again.
I mean, how difficult is it to mark it off?
And it looked like Kung Fu Kenny left early.
Yeah. And when the guy hits the mark, that's when you take off.
Yeah.
It can't be. These are Olympic, top-notch Olympic athletes.
Yeah, the best. I mean, if you put the 4 100-meter times together, the U.S. wins easily. But you got to get the stick around the track,
yep.
And it doesn't have to be. The women proved they didn't have their. You know, the pass from Gabby to Shakari for the last leg, it wasn't perfect.
No.
But you know what? You make it happen.
You got into her hands.
They got it into her hands. Yeah. They got it in front of the yellow line, and then you rely on your speed and athleticism, and you made it happen. Because, you know, Otto Bolden said in the NBC coverage, sometimes it's not going to go perfect.
No, it's not.
And for the Americans, they don't practice with each other all year long because they're, you know, these athletes that can sustain themselves by running on their own. So they're not running this relay all the time, whereas the Japanese and the Chinese and some of these other countries, they are drilling this all year long. They got the same four guys, and, you know, tomorrow, you know, they've probably woken up and said, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, you're going to 2028, or, you know, you're going to the World Championships in 2025. So get out here on the track and start passing this thing. If you drop it, you run a mile.
Yeah. Well, it's getting to a point now where, and I have to be very honest, when I was watching the race, I thought, what could potentially happen here? Because you're getting so used to them screwing it up.
Well, and at that point, at some point, because, and by the way, this doesn't happen all the time. They're the world champions.
Absolutely.
Last year's but world champions.
For some reason, they get to the Olympic Games.
And it is
and
bigger.
It just.
And it is, you know, you can say whatever you want about, oh, it's, you know, the track's the same everywhere. You know, the baton's the same length in the Olympics as it is everywhere else. Well, it doesn't mean that it gets past the same as everywhere else.
Well, and it just you know, they're humans, and it just means so much. And, you know, hey, they just screwed it up. And unfortunately now we have a string of five straight Olympics where something has happened here.
Like before the boycott?
Yeah.
Is that the last? Or no?
Well, no, they actually, their last one in 2000 is when they last got on the podium.
Okay. But they haven't won since like 92?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Fun show, guys. Hey, appreciate it. That's our first interview Amnesty Day. Coming up next week on the show, we'll be back to our normal interview schedule, and Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, is scheduled to join us next week. And also, I believe we're efforting Ken Merzek, the head coach of Emporia State Volleyball for next week.
Well, Wyatt should have a lot of good things to talk about.
I would certainly think so.
I think, obviously, another good K-State football season is what most Cat fans should expect.
Yes. So. I picked number two, and certainly picked in the top 25. Both Kansas schools in the top 25.
Yep.
So it'd be. I hope that the Sunflower Showdown lives up to what it was last year. Where, man, I still
that hurts.
I know we're all. I know you Wildcat fans out there are always these KU so guys painful on this show. But I would love to see the end of that game without a third string quarterback. I'd love to see that.
And the muff punt.
Oh my god. God,
way to end the show.
I
huh?
blocked that out from my memory. Okay, we need to move on.
Yes, we do.
Start getting angry. Coming up here on the KVOE network of stations for the rest of the weekend. Of course, we'll have. Hey, this is a positive note. Chiefs Jaguars. Chiefs football is back. 5 o'clock pregame. Country 101.7. Kickoff at 6. And you guys know from last year, and I'm told every year, the Chiefs radio network. They're great. They work really hard. They typically don't work well on the first game. So if you hear something wrong, just know that I'm addressing it. I'll be in town. I have specifically made plans to be in town
just to make
sure for the duration of the broadcast because the Chiefs Radio Network inevitably screws something up. But we'll be working on it. It's on Country 101.7.
I'm hoping nothing critical
I appreciate and need all the hope that you can provide, Dylan. Royals Cardinals 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch, and then nothing on Sunday. We got nothing on Sunday. I'm sorry.
Wow. Royals, blank slate.
Yeah, Royals have an off day. So enjoy the closing ceremony of the Olympics, and the last real day of competition is today, although they will have, I think, gold medal volleyball is on Sunday morning.
And women's basketball gold medal game is tomorrow morning as
that
well.
That is right. Yeah. So we've got
so
those.
Hopefully the Americans clean sweep France.
That would be great. Yeah. And when it's been also amusing to watch on social media, like, oh, the medal count's always been the gold medal count. Like, go back and watch the NBC. It's always been total medals, and we're going to win the overall golds anyway. And by the way, you're not even close to the overall gold,
no.
Australia.
No.
Yeah, where have you been this second week? Did you forget that the Olympics don't end when the pool events stop?
For them, it does.
Like, you forgot? Like, oh, hey, we have track and field. So he's like, oh, we just show up to swim, and that's it. Yeah,
that's basically it.
Yeah, go. We'll see you. Yeah, try again next year. You didn't even win the pool events that you said you were going to win. You didn't even win those.
Yeah.
So what are you talking to us about?
Still beat you 8-7 in the golds, by the way.
Have a nice 4 years to chew on that for a little bit. And I bet we're going to win more Winter Olympic medals than you any. Too.
And dominate 2028 in Los Angeles.
We hope so. You would expect that the Americans get a little bump there. So we'll get you into the Infinity Sports Network again here in just a second. We've got an Olympics update coming up for you here just after we get done. This is KVOE Emporia for Tim, for Dylan, Blake Cripps saying so long from Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Have a great rest of your weekend.
It's time to rain the zone.
The 1-1. Fastball bounce back.